are grateful for it.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday Morning Worship Service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's and our worship this evening. We are kind of turning a little bit away from our themes. We're starting into a stewardship month, as it were. Today we have John Kieran, who is one of our Wells Christian Giving Counselors, here to preach for us about Christ being our treasure. And along those lines, we will also talk about treasuring what Christ is and what he does. I didn't get a chance to say hello to your friends, neighbors, people who've come and haven't seen in a while. Welcome them in Christ Jesus. And we'll begin our worship with hymn 749, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. Hymn 749, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. God loves to give. We begin our worship.
We invite you to the worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Jonathan Kieran will bring us the message from God's Word today, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 34. The treasure is yours.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature. I have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Help for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson for today is from Joshua chapter 24, selected verses. And Joshua is about to go the way of the world, and he's retiring from leadership after leading people of Israel for 40 years and gaining for them the promised land. And now he tells you how to do it, how to live that life and enjoy life on earth when you do live it in the Lord, making him your heart and soul. We read from Joshua 24. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem, and he summoned the elders of Israel, its heads, its judges, and its officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua told all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has said. From ancient times, your ancestors, including Terah, who was the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River, and they served other gods." Joshua said, "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly and faithfully. Remove the gods that your fathers served in the region across the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if you see no benefit in serving the Lord, then choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord." The people responded by saying, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord in order to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is the one who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, where we were slaves. He is the one who performed these great signs right before our eyes and protected us on the whole journey that we made and among all the peoples through whom we passed. The Lord drove out of our presence all the peoples and the Amorites who are living in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with Psalm 119D. That is in your Psalter on page 648. In your Psalter on page 648, if you would like to use the music, Psalm 119D. Our second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 11, taking the account of Moses there and his faith. We read, "By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter when he grew up. He chose to be mistreated with God's people rather than enjoy sin for a little while. He considered disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt without fearing the king's wrath, because he persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he celebrated the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not strike them down." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. We'll sing the gospel acclamation. Gospel lesson is from John chapter 6. It's very similar to the last 2 weeks' readings, but it's very clear here that we need to persevere in the faith in Christ himself, who is the bread that came down from heaven. It is him that we must believe in and persevere with to arrive joyfully at the feast. We read from John chapter 6. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." At that, the Jews argued among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like your fathers ate and died. The one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. When they heard it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, "Does this cause you to stumble in your faith? What if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is given to him by my Father.' After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you want to leave me too?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and now know that you are the Holy One of God.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. We continue by singing, "What is the World to Me?" Hymn 717.
Thank you. Savior Jesus Christ, amen. God's word for our hearing and our learning this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 29 through 34. Jesus said, "And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of my favorite TV shows is American Pickers. It's on the History Channel. Maybe you've seen that TV show before. On the show, two guys, Frank Fritz and Mike Wolf, travel around the country and they search through old barns and dusty attics and cluttered garages, and they sort through people's things that many people look at and might think are just a bunch of junk, but they are able to sift through all of that stuff and identify things that really have value. And they can pretty much guess how much those things would be worth on the market. It's kind of a neat skill to have, right? To look at an object and right away know how much it would be worth, how much money you could get for it. My friends, you know you have that skill. Oh, I'm not talking about knowing the value of things that you find in garages and barns and storerooms and garages. I'm talking about that spiritual ability to know what truly has value for this life and forever. When the Holy Spirit brought you to faith in your Savior, Jesus, he also gave you the ability to know what truly has value. And in today's lesson that I just read, Jesus reminds us of what is truly valuable. He is the one that is the most valuable of all. And with these words, he reminds us of how it's important to keep what truly has value as a high priority, the highest priority in our life. And so as we focus on these words, we do so under the theme, the treasure is yours. And while the world around us chases after temporary treasures, your Heavenly Father has given you a lasting treasure. You know, the words of our Savior that I read come on the heels of a parable that Jesus told, a story about a rich fool. Maybe you remember the story. It's about a man whose wealth just kept increasing and increasing. His crops were bumper crops, and he didn't have enough barns to store all the crops that he had harvested. So he built more barns and to store his wealth, and he thought he had it made. He said to himself, "I can take life easy. I can eat, drink, and be merry." But that very day, God said to him, "You fool. You are a fool because you missed out on what truly has value." He said, "This night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" You know, the thinking of that rich man personifies a lot of people in our world today. Many people live their lives with the idea that life is really about just getting stuff, winning the lottery, getting as much earthly treasure as possible. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with being blessed with great wealth. I think of how God blessed many faithful believers in the scriptures, men like Job and Abraham and Solomon, just to name a few. Those men were considered among the richest people of the world of their day. And there certainly is nothing wrong with saving and storing wealth for the future. For building those bigger barns, for stocking your pantry, for putting money aside for a rainy day or for retirement. The book of Proverbs says, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil." Now, the problem comes is when we set our hearts on those earthly things, when they become more valuable to us than God and the people that he calls us to love and cherish. It's a problem when we think that those earthly needs will, or those earthly things will meet all of our needs. The kind of thinking that says, if I just have plenty of food to eat, lots of clothes, and a nice car to drive, and a big house, then I'm set. I got everything. I can just take life easy. Jesus puts a stop to such kind of thinking. In the words of our lesson, he says, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things." When I hear Jesus say those words, there's a picture that comes to mind for me. It's what often happens on that Black Friday, that day after Thanksgiving. It's that big shopping day. Have you ever seen on the news how sometimes people camp out at the stores, you know, the night before, just so when those doors open in the morning, they can be the first ones to get all of that stuff before somebody else does. They run, they chase after those earthly things. Sometimes they push and shove people out of the way. They get into fights just so they can get more stuff. And we look at that behavior and we laugh and we think, oh, how childish, how foolish that is. But are we really much different in our own hearts? In our lives, are we just spending our time chasing after stuff? Is our life just about making another buck? About just getting wealthier and wealthier? Are we so focused on getting things that we neglect time with God and his word? Are we so focused about having our children get wealthy and high-paying jobs that we're not so much concerned about their spiritual well-being? Are we just spending our time chasing after that more expensive car, that bigger house, that latest gadget? And then we only have leftovers to give to God. Are we so worried about having enough stuff in retirement that we hoard and hoard, lacking trust in God to provide? And then we have little room to be generous and share. Take to heart a warning that Jesus says in another lesson. He says, "You cannot serve two masters." You can't serve both God and money. It's either one or the other. And take to heart the Apostle Paul's warning when he talks about the danger of falling in love with money. He says, "The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. By striving for money, some have wandered away from the faith." Yeah, the love of money can destroy us physically and spiritually. My friends, may we never ever have to face the day when our Almighty God has to look us in the face and say, "You are a fool because you treasured the wrong thing." Thankfully, our Savior knows what we're going through. He knows how weak and frail we are. He knows how we often falter and fail and give in to temptation. And so what does he do? He graciously reminds us about the real treasure that we already have in our God. He says, "Don't worry, your Father knows what you need." What a blessing it is to know that. To know that our daily circumstances are not up to chance. That our path through life is not dependent on some giant roulette wheel in the sky landing on the right number. You have a loving and caring Heavenly Father who knows your every need better than you know yourself. He provides for you each and every day. He takes care of you in every situation. And the treasure that we have in our God doesn't end there. Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." First of all, Jesus calls us a little flock. First of all, those words remind us that we are weak, helpless, wandering sheep on our own. But we have a shepherd. A shepherd who laid down his life for us. Jesus is that shepherd. And he took upon himself the guilt of all of our sins, including our selfishness and our greed and our failure to trust in God to provide. He took the blame for our misplaced priorities. And he took the punishment we deserved for those sins on the cross. And then he clothed us in his perfect righteousness, his perfect record. Jesus was always generous and giving, never failed to trust in his Heavenly Father, and he gives us the credit for that. And because that is true, our Heavenly Father can now give us the kingdom. And he gives it to us gladly, not reluctantly. We don't have to earn it or pay for it. We don't have to bargain for it. It's been bought and paid for by our Savior Jesus. And what is this kingdom that he has given us? Well, his kingdom is all the blessings that he has poured into our hearts and lives through his gospel message. The blessings of full and free forgiveness for our sins. The blessing and the certainty of eternal life in heaven. Do you realize what a treasure that you have in Christ Jesus? Recently, I helped a widow lady work on her estate plan, a plan for what would happen to her earthly possessions after the Lord calls her home to heaven. And as we were planning, we did a little inventory of everything that she owned. And we totaled up the value, and she had a surprised look on her face. She said to me, "You know, Pastor, I never realized how wealthy I am." My friends, do you realize how wealthy you are? And I'm not really talking about how big your bank account is or how expensive your house and car and other possessions are. I'm talking about the wealth that you have in Jesus. Because you know Jesus as your Savior, you know that every one of your sins are forgiven. Those sins that might bother your conscience, those sins that might keep you up at night, those sins that you're so ashamed of you would not want anyone ever to know about them. All of those sins have been paid for and washed away by Jesus' blood. What a treasure it is to know that. you also have the assurance of God's love. Even on those dark and painful days in our lives, those days when we hear bad news, those days when we suffer, those days when God's love seems so distant, we have the assurance that nothing can separate us from God's love. It's there always, always working out all things for our eternal good. What's more, you have his promise that whenever you turn to him in prayer, he's always there with a listening ear, and he will answer in your best interest. And then you have the rock-solid assurance that when you take your last breath in this life, you will immediately take a new breath in the joy and perfection of heaven, where there will be no more death or pain or sorrow or suffering. Only eternal joy with your Savior Jesus and all believers. What a treasure it is to have that. It's a treasure that nobody can take away from you. A treasure that moth and rust cannot destroy. Where no thief can break in or steal. Value that treasure. Don't give it up. You know, they often say, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And there may be people in this world, maybe people you even know, who will say to you that what we are talking about here today, this message about Jesus and the blessings that he gives us, is just a bunch of trash. It's not true. It's a myth. It's not worth our time. Don't give in to such thinking, my friends. Value the treasure that you have in Christ. And when we know where true treasure is found, our hearts begin to change. This knowledge about Jesus being our great treasure helps us to loosen our grip on those earthly treasures that we have. So we don't think of those things as things that only are there for ourselves and our own convenience and our own needs. But those earthly blessings that God has given us can be used as tools to express our love for the Lord and for others too. That's why Jesus encourages us in our lesson. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Jesus is reminding us that we have an opportunity to show our faith by helping those in need. Maybe you have a friend, a family member, a neighbor, an acquaintance who's going through hard times. And you've been blessed with more than you need. You've been blessed in abundance. Consider that as an opportunity to share and be generous and help them. And then recognize all the spiritually poor people in our world, people who don't know about Jesus, don't know the treasure that could be theirs in him. And consider how you can use your earthly treasures to help bring that message of Christ to them. You do so through your offerings here at St. John's. As you give of your offerings, you are helping to bring a treasure to more and more people. You can do that now, and you can also plan gifts for the future. And in my call as a Christian giving counselor, I can help God's people plan those gifts for the future. Maybe through an estate plan, when the Lord calls you home to heaven, you can set aside gifts to honor the Lord and help spread his gospel message to more and more people, so more and more people can find that treasure in Christ. My friends, you know, you may not be able to go into a dusty attic, a cluttered garage, or a storeroom full of stuff and be able to value everything in there, but You know where true value can be found. You know the true treasure that you have in Christ. Value it, cherish it, now and forever. Amen. And please stand. Now the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Let us join now in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
We join in the responsive prayer that is on the screen. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe in which we live. You control all things through your Son, who sits at the right hand, at your right hand, in glory. Comfort us with the promise of your eternal presence. Give your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion, demolish our doubts. Send your Spirit to strengthen to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and a desire to live according to your will.
Take away our love of sin and restore us each day by your grace.
The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution.
Give us courage to bear the cross, patience, and joy.
Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy, between poverty of the soul and riches of the heart. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel.
Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth.
Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical and emotional pain, and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Today we pray for Larry Thomas, the brother-in-law of Ray Fiske. Dear Heavenly Father, bless him with the diagnosis of cancer that he received this week. Encourage him even more in his faith to remain close to you, because the riches that God promises are soon to be his. Help him to hold on to this promise and rejoice in your grace. Pour out your compassion on the grieving and comfort the mourners who miss someone they loved. Move us to pray. Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. Thank you for the riches of heart and soul that you have given. Bless us that we may bless others with our earthly riches. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our offering is in the alms box. We continue with our communion service.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Please rise. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, who, I'm missing the place, here we go, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock until he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Blessed are you, Lord God, eternal King and gracious Father. In love you made us the crown of your creation. In mercy you planned our salvation. In grace you sent your Son to redeem us from sin. We remember and give you thanks for your eternal Son, Jesus Christ, that he became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that he willingly placed himself under law to redeem those under law, that he humbled himself to become obedient to death on a cross, that he has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Bless us as we receive your Son's body and blood in this sacrament. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, strengthen our fellowship, and deepen our longing for the day when Christ will welcome us to his eternal feast. Praise and thanks and honor and glory be to you, O God our Father, and to your Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And in your name we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Come, for all things are now ready. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Hymn number 695.